Hello and welcome to Day 3 of the World Cup and the Reuters 2010 South Africa podcast. We're looking back on a fabulous day at the World Cup and looking ahead to one which we're sure will be even better. Mark Gleeson, did you happen to see any of Argentina yesterday?
I saw Argentina running all over Nigeria in the first 20 minutes or so and thought that it would be a little avalanche of goals, but the Africans did quite well in fighting back and they might well have snuck an unmerited equaliser late on in the game, but I think there's perhaps hope for Nigeria yet in that group.
Okay, hope for Nigeria. Brian Homewood, you watched the game as well. How good were Argentina?
I thought they were really nice to watch. Not just Messi, but I like the way they passed the ball around patiently, waiting for an opening, then just sending a nice little angle ball for Messi. But I think it's a shame that Riquelme is not there. I think he would really complete the team. Okay. The defence is a bit worrying, though.
Defence is a bit worrying, yes. Can you see Argentina winning this one, Paul?
I would have said no before it started, but seeing them yesterday and seeing how they're combining together and seeing how brilliant Messi can be, and we're surely not going to go another game like that where he doesn't actually put two or three balls in the net. So, yes, I see Argentina among the favourites now if they keep on like this.
As for England, was there anything in that performance to suggest that England might trouble the scorers at this World Cup? Anyone?
Yeah, I think they looked a little bit hurried, England, in their approach to the game. I thought, they slow it down a little bit. Perhaps first match nerves, game two, game three, and they do play against weaker opponents. I mean, the American defence was particularly outstanding yesterday. There were some really good tackles at key moments when England looked as if they were going to set up good goal-scoring chances. I think if I was an English fan, I wouldn't be too depressed about the result. It is nice to start on a winning note, but there are two softer games to come. Yeah, and I think the nice thing about this is true football conditions, and we've seen that reflected, I think, in the tempo and the pace of the game so far. There have been some really entertaining football in the first five matches that we've seen. So perhaps it's not particularly good for the England 2018 bid, but I mean it's good to see football at this level being played at in decent conditions, because of course the World Cup comes at the end of a very long season for players, and they've really got to dig deep into reservoirs of motivation and fitness, etc., to compete, to make the football exciting at a tournament like this.
Okay. One European team we haven't really spoken about much at this tournament yet is Holland. I'm delighted to welcome for the first time on the podcast Theo Rijenij, our Dutch correspondent, and he'll probably correct my pronunciation now. But Theo, what's the mood like in the Dutch camp?
They're on holiday.
They're on holiday.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Dutch.
That's the way like it's looking so far. Everything is very relaxed. Only talking about one thing, the most spoken hamstring so far, the one of Arjen Robben, who is in South Africa, actually, since yesterday.
Okay.
And they have to get it started.
Yeah.
And it's all the job for the coach is a difficult job. It's not only, the team is not only thinking about winning, but they want the credits for it. They want to do it beautiful.
Okay.
And in the World Cup, finally, it's only about winning.
And nice. To be successful, they've really got to have Robin there, haven't they, Theo? I mean, without Robin, they're only half a contender for this World Cup, wouldn't you think?
He can give them something extra. Mm-hmm. He's unpredictable, and the form he showed this season at his club, but also he did in the only 40 minutes he played during a warm-up match. He was fantastic. But the other players up front, they're doing well. You got some fine players. Robin van Persie, he's fit, he's fresh, hardly played for 6 months. So he can be one of the strikers of the tournament.
Are they going to fight amongst themselves this time, or are they all rowing in the same direction for a change?
No, so far they're rowing in the same direction. It's a real team, and nothing is happening, so it's a bit boring to follow them.
the other big European team that we haven't seen, real contenders always, are Germany. Of course, Paul Radford, you're a bit of an expert on all things German. Can you see Germany doing anything this time?
Well, I think Germany might be surprising. You know, we've come here thinking they're inexperienced, they're young, they haven't really got a star player with Ballack dropping out. But I think it'd be interesting to see how they start off. They've got a young dynamism about them. They may actually be quite a... They're always a hard team to beat, as we know. And I think this time maybe they have a bit more quality than we think, and they might go a really long way.
Isn't there an opportunity perhaps for someone like Schweinsteiger to step into that sort of role in this tournament? The thing that interests me about the Germans is that they always seem to prepare for the World Cup with sort of soft games, and for the European Championship as well. Liechtenstein and Luxembourg, and in this particular build-up it was Bosnia and Hungary and Malta, and you wonder whether this young side didn't need a bit of a decent test in at least one of their warm-up games coming into this tournament, because I think Australia...